So up until now, we've been probably talking about a lot of Yisurim, a lot of Chumras within the system of the Rabbanan of Achzara that was instituted for a variety of reasons, either because Mechzikim Vashar, Losh HaMichat Nikicholim. So we spoke a lot about the three conditions that are necessary in order to permit Achzara, Guf HaKtuma, Odviyado, Dat L'Hach, so all the different possibilities when you need all of them, some of them, one of them, what exactly each one of these things mean. But we've come up with a lot of chumras, not we. The Gemara and the Rishonim seem to be a lot of chumras in this area of halacha. In fact, some of the Rishonim said that the reason why we paskin a lot of these shalos l'chumra, even though they're all midrabanan, is because krov level of ayis is deraisa. We saw that phrase that the Ran had suggested. So things have been somewhat degree of chumras in the last couple of shiurim. Now we'll take a little bit of an about face. And we'll try to highlight one or two possible kulas that the Rishonim discuss and develop and analyze. Within this Isser of Achzara, there are certain things that may mitigate this Isser of Achzara to such a point that we may be able to actually permit certain things even within the realm of Achzara without using the regular terms, the regular rules we've been talking about for the last couple of shiurim. So the first of these potential kulas is found in the 11th of the Maamar Kamos. It's the second page, 11th of the Maamar Kamos. It has a source in Iran. The Ran of Masechta Shabbos claims that the Rishami makes the following statement. I say claims because not everybody who reads the Rishami actually even said this. But the way the Rad is reading the Rishami, we'll read it as follows. Miu, Birushami mashma, the cholani pluksa lisneu elabisha silka miagabe kira me ev shabbos, vlogziran achechashecha. Says the Rad that when do we find all these distinctions? When is Achzara permissible? When is Achzara prohibited? The distinctions that the Rad is referring to is everything we spoke about last week. All of those added conditions that we pointed out don't appear in the Mishnah explicitly, but the Amorayim have them, the Gemara has them. You require Odebiyado, you require Dait L'Hachzer, maybe you require both, maybe you require one, but again, but something is necessary. Some added component is necessary in order to permit Achzara. So says the Rad, it would appear in the Rishalmi that when do we have all these conditions? That's only for the person who took the food off the fire on Friday afternoon and didn't place it back on the fire until Shabbos has already started. So let's play it out. The scenario would be, person's cooking Friday, everything's heating up on Friday. You take it off on Friday afternoon and you put it down on the table somewhere, you put it in the refrigerator somewhere, and then Shabbos, later you want to put it back on the fire. So then we say, wait a second, not so simple. You want to put it back on the fire, and it wasn't even on the fire when Shabbos started. You had a lot of conditions going for you. Oh, the biyado, the lachs, I'm going to throw the book at you. But if it was on the fire for the entire beginning point of Shabbos, when Shabbos started, it was on the fire, and then you took it off at a later point, and you want to put it back on again. So says the Ran, don't worry about it. So if you skip down a little bit to the fourth line from the bottom of the Ran, first one line is Gabe. So says the Rad, says that if the food was on the fire when Shabbos started, you can take it off. If the Shabbos starts, you can put it down, you can go to sleep, you come back an hour later, put it back on, no problem, everything is okay. What's the lumdus? What's the svar of the Rad? So this is all a throwback to what we spoke about already last week. The idea of Achzara is that we're trying as best as possible to show that I'm not doing something new. I'm not starting to cook up food. I'm not starting to heat up food. Because when you're starting to cook up food, that smacks of Mechzikim Mevashel. When you're starting to heat up food, then there's a significant fear of Shevichat Megicholim. The whole idea, the whole goal of Achzara is, I'm just continuing where I left off. I'm cooking food. Nobody's going to say I'm cooking food. It's obvious. I'm just continuing. No one's a mechabi b'chata b'gichol. The food is still piping hot. So all the fears of Havzara can be minimized if we could just continue where we left off. The whole idea is not to start over again. The idea is to continue where we left off. So that's what the Rad is quoting from this Rishami, that b'medavar mamurim is considered to be starting over again. That's if the food wasn't on the fire when Shabbos started. That makes a lot of sense. The food was on the fire on Friday morning. It's been off of the fire for 10 hours. Shabbos morning, you want to put it back under the fire. That's not called putting it back on the fire. That's called putting it onto the fire. Then we throw a book at you. Then we say, Mechziki Mevashel, Shemichat Mechalim, etc. But if the food was on the fire when Shabbos began, so Friday night, that moment of truth, on Friday night, your wife is benching left, and the food's still sitting on the fire, So what? Who cares what happens afterwards? It comes off the fire, on the fire, off the fire. Everybody realizes this is just a continuation of where it was when Shabbos began. So that's an amazing cooler from the Rishami. If we would follow this Rishami, then this would have significant ramifications for us. Namely, all the things that we spoke about last week, we were dragging around trying to figure out how to scoop out cholins, how to put food back from the fire Shabbos morning. And we kept on running into a brick wall. We kept on saying, but it's not Odebi Yadu, it's not Odebi Yadu. So we watered down Odebi Yadu a little bit. So we try to find a safer true, but it says, you don't really need Odebi Yadu. Everywhere we're turning, we're trying to get away with or minimize as much as we can Odebi Yadu. Comes the Rana, the name of Yerushalmi, says, guess what? You don't even need Odebi Yadu. And the only time the Gemara said Odebi Yadu was only in that one unique case when the food wasn't on the fire when Shabbos began. The question is, do we follow this Ran? So the Pashas at Dvarim is that none of the other Rishonim said this. The Tosfos and the Rosh and all the regular Rishonim don't make mention of this. And the truth is, it doesn't say this anywhere in the Bavli. You know, we learned together the Sugi of Odebi Yadu Dat L'Hachzer. The Gemara had a lot to say about Odebi Yadu Dat L'Hachzer, and the Bavli didn't say a word about it. So even if one wants to think that the Rishami really subscribes to this, to say that this is the Das HaBavli is very, very difficult. And of course, we know from past sugyas, whenever you have Machlekes, Bavli, and the Rishami, so it's not going to bode well for the Rishami. So we have this potential Gevaldika Kula that's hanging on for dear life to the school of the Rishami, but let's not forget, we're not even sure the Rishami actually said it. It was the Ran's reading of the Rishami, and we're not so sure that the Bavli subscribes to it.
But did the Bavli explain to us the case of Chazara with
no, it didn't say one or the other.
Ambiguous.
Yeah, it was right. But ambiguous, if you just read the Bavli, I would, Haraya, until 10 minutes ago, probably no one thought of this distinction.
But was one interpretation of Chazara that the Chazara is the Chazara from before Shabbos?
No. That was a Machlokes that we showed him. Is the Chazara on Erev Shabbos itself? Because if you take something off at 2 o'clock and put it back at 4 o'clock, is that Chazara also? But everybody agrees that the Issur of Achzor is putting it back on the fire on Shabbos. And the Bavli doesn't say a word about Hocham B'Maiskinan, that it was off the fire when Shabbos started. Bavli didn't say that. The Bavli's talking regular, normal Achzor. It means you take it off Friday night, put it back Shabbos morning. So should we accept this or not? So if we take a look at the 12th of the Ma'am Kamos. So the Ramah, the 12th of the Ma'am Kamos, the Simon Reish Tim Gimel, writes, Hagah, V'yesh Omrim, T'choze Eino Asur. When do we say that all the above is a problem? All the above was referring back to the other that lacks all the conditions that we spoke about last week. V'yeshom the choza eno aser rakash and nutlam and akir b'biyod yom for zira checha checha. That means if you took it off the fire on Friday afternoon and you haven't yet put it back till Shabbos starts, then you have a problem. But if you took it off the fire once it already got dark, so it was sitting on the fire when Shabbos began, even if you subsequently put it down on the karka, that would be okay. So he's quoting the Ran's Yerushalmi. And he says that the Minigoyim is people are very lenient about this. On our ovens, we haven't spoken about the details about what's called the key, what's called the tanim. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. But the bottom line is the Ramah says that the minig was lahakel. And he says that they rely on those who are lenient about this. And then the Ramah adds on, the Ramah says he doesn't think you should really rely on this. It's better to be machmir on this. Because the truth is, this is really somewhat of a das yochid. But so far, so good. Okay, but, you know, we can live with a tov lahachmir. But what's going to do this kula in 1 second is what the Ramah is about to say. Miu, im nitzadeh l'kulei alma asur, says the Ramah, if the food has cooled down already, then there's nothing to talk about. He says, then even the mekilim would never be mekil. Where did the Ramah get this from? From the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef said this also, that the whole chiddush of the Ran and the Yerushalmi, that we're going to let you be mekel and put the food back on the fire and forego the conditions of Odebi Yadu and Netlach. So forget last week's shiur, as long as the food was on the fire when Shabbos started. But when is that kula true? That's only true if the food hasn't cooled down. If it's cooled down, then the game's over. Then everything is also once the food is cooled down. And the question is, where did this condition come from? We were just riding high a minute ago. We had this great kula. We got a nagula hokal out of this. All right, we had a tomahachim. Okay, you know that. Again, we got over that a little bit. But then there are more through the word aser. You know, it's one thing to do away with the tomahachim. Another thing to do away with the word aser. So what is pshat in the Ramah? Now, a pesha also. The Ramah just said it's mutar. Mikra did. Some call the Riyam Makim. Then he turns around and he says, oh, by the way, if it's netzadein, then it's aser. Now that last line of the Ramah is going to chare do us in, because it's always netzadein by us. That's exactly the case. I take it off the fire Friday night. I serve the food. I put it into the refrigerator. 12 hours later, of course it's netzadein. So the chare, the whole cooler Ramah is not going to help. The cooler Ramah will help you. It'll help you if you want to dish out children Friday night and put it down the counter and then put it back 5 minutes later. Okay, then the Ramah school will help. But 99% of the time, the Ramah school, the chare just lost all of its strength to it. So what's pshat in this last line? We were statically yama also. So the Mishnah Berurah in the 13th of the Mamre Kamos refers to a machlokes the Gedolei HaPoskim between the Magen Avraham and the Gra as to how to understand this added condition. So says the Mishnah Berurah in 13, Miyum Mitzdanin, Hainim Mitzdanin Lagamrei, Kamosh Gotsu Lamahla, V'yatam, D'shayach Achakach Od Bishul Chadash. So this is a quote from the Gra, that the reason why the Ramah and the Beis Yosef added on that condition, so to speak, of Lon Mitzdanin, because they were always concerned in the back of their minds, wait a second, forget about Achzor. Achzor is like the Rabbanim, we have a deraisa on our hands. There's a potential deraisa. If the food cools down, putting it back onto the fire, maybe a shaila bishul deraisa. Why? Well, this is a throwback to what we spoke about weeks ago, months ago. Even though we have a mishnah in the end of Masechah Shabbos that says ein bishul lacha bishul, once food is cooked, so it's no longer subsequent to an iser of quote unquote recooking, that's not always true. Half of the Rishonim hold that that's only true by a dover yavesh, by dry foods. It's not true by liquids, and the reason is very obvious. By dry foods, when you quote-unquote recook it, what do? Had a dry piece of kugel, so it was cold. The difference between a cold piece of kugel and a hot piece of kugel is not all that much. So taking a cold piece of cooked kugel and making it hot again, that's not called bishul deraisa. Taking a cold bowl of soup and making it hot again, that's called bishul. Because once a liquid cools down, it's in this bottle of bishul. The bishul is over ready. It's done. It's no one in the world is going to eat the cold bowl of soup. So reheating it is not just reheating it. Reheating it is actually an act with the rice of cooking it. So that's a big machlekes that we showed him. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and quotes the name of the Gra, but that's what the Ramah was Maram. That's what the Ramah was hinting to over here. When the Ramah says, no problem, take the food off. As long as the food's on the fire Friday night, you can take it off 10 o'clock at night, put it into the refrigerator, put it back on the next morning, no big deal. Oh, wait a second, it's cooled off? Well, make sure you don't violate the Isra Bishul. Okay, that's fine, says the Gra. We won't violate the Isra Bishul. But if that's the Pshat in the Ramah, that's the Pshat in the Beis Yosef, if that's the Pshat in this condition of Lo Netzdanein, so then that will only be true for liquids. It's not going to be true for solids, because when it comes to solids, it's a Mishnah. Ein Bishul Lacha Bishul. Everyone knows that. Ein Bishul Lacha Bishul. So it'll come out that the Gra may have just saved us. Because according to the Gra, what comes out is as follows. Every time I want to put food back in the fire in Shabbos, I have to get two checks. I have to ask myself two questions. Is there a Bishul Deraisa problem? Is there a Havzara problem? So if I'm dealing with a solid, the Bishul Shaila is a moot Shaila. With Bishul, Ein Bishul Lacha Bishul, the food's cooked already. So I want to take a dry piece of chicken, a dry piece of kugel, put it back on the fire on Shabbos morning. So Alts Bishul, I have nothing to worry about. Alts Achzara, if I'm willing to rely on the Ran and the Rishalmi and the Ramah and the Minog, that you don't need all to be other that Lachzer, as long as the food was on the fire when Shabbos started, then I'm home free. Aye, but the Ramah himself threw in the condition, Imit Stadin Osir. No, says the Gra. Imit Stadin Osir was only Osir Alts Bishul. So it only applies in those few cases where Bishul is an issue, namely by liquids, by soups, by chicken with gravies, meat with gravies, those kinds of things. But dry piece of kugel and chicken, so then we just cross out the line of Mitzadik Liyama also. It's not relevant when it comes to Dover Yavesh, to dry foods. And Mevela, we fall back on the Ran, on the Rishalmi, that Mikra didn't begin to be Me'ekil. So according to the Gra, it's a big cooler. The Gra took out all the oomph out of that phrase of Mitzadik Liyama also. He didn't take it all out, he just limited it only to the realm of liquids. But that's not where this again ends. The Mishnah Berurah continues in the 13th Mamre Kamos. The Ayin Lekamad V'Magen Avraham, Sivkat Lamidvav, Shekosav. The Afilu B'Dav Yave She'ein Bo Marak, even derived foods that don't have any soup, don't have any liquids to them, the little Shach Bo Bishol, the Magen Avraham is Maskim, there won't be an issue of Bishol, Gam Kin Asar. There would still be a problem of Achzara. Why? The Kevan Shekvar Nitzdanein, Batla hashehiya harishona. Once the food has cooled down, that's not called hachzara anymore. The havikin nice and atem echadish v'sachatanu l'ze asa b'chol gavnei. So he says that once the food is cooled down, that's considered to be a hachzara problem. It's not a bishul problem. If it's a liquid, it's also a bishul problem. But even a salad, which is not a bishul problem, there's a hachzara issue that you have to reckon with. Namely, says the Magen Avraham, the whole, going back to what we said many, many times, the whole idea of hachzara is only permissible when it's a continuation of what you started. If you're starting over again, that's bad. That's an iser. That's a Mexican Mevashel, that's a Yeshem Yechad B'Gicholim issue. So we have to do everything in our power to make it a continuation rather than a new Haskalah. So we thought that the two conditions that are usually associated with that distinction are Odu B'Yadu Dait L'Hachzer. When it's Odu B'Yadu Dait L'Hachzer, that's a continuation. When those conditions are missing, then it's an Asina Mechadosh, it's a new beginning, and that becomes a problem. So the Ran found a Sirishami that said, even in the absence of Odu B'Yadu Dait L'Hachzer, we can still label it as a continuation, as long as it was on the fire physically, practically, when Shabbos started. So we breathed a sigh of relief. But then the Ramah told us, but if it's Tetzatanin, it's Asur. Why is that? So the Magen Avraham says, I'll explain to you, it's very simple. If it's Tetzatanin, who are you joking? Who are you kidding? You're telling me you're putting food back at 10 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning. Oh, I'm putting food back on the fire. I'm just continuing what I left off last night. After all, don't you remember? 14 hours ago, it was on the fire. 14 hours ago, it was hot on the fire. Now it's sitting in the refrigerator for 12 hours. What kind of tzio, what kind of connection is that? That's not a continuation. That's a new beginning. So what the Ramah is saying is that even though we based on the Risham, we can somehow be moichel on the conditions of Odu B'Yadu Dait L'Hachzer. That we can forego Odu B'Yadu Dait L'Hachzer. But it only makes sense to forego those conditions when it's still warm, it's still hot. If it's mamash ice cold already, it's mamash a joke. It's a late sonos to say that this is a continuation of yesterday. It's not a continuation of yesterday. It's ice cold. This is an asinim echadosh. If it's an asinim echadosh, that spells trouble. Then the yisr of Mechzikim Mevashel kicks in. The yisr of Shemichat V'Gichon kicks in. And we're back into trouble. So the flow of the sugya really started as follows. We started out with this nisr of achzara, and you need odu b'yado, and you need dait l'hachzer. That was last week's year. You need everything. Maybe everything. One of the two. Both of them. Whatever. But you need something. You need odu b'yado dait l'hachzer, / those quasi-conditions in order to be moderate. Then the Rishama came to the rescue and said, no, you don't really need those conditions. You only need those conditions when the food wasn't on the fire when Shabbos started. So the Rishama gave us a kula. Then the Ramah said, no, but the kula is only true when it's loaded started. So now we had a break off between the Gra and the Magen Avraham. Where did that condition starting, loaded starting come from? According to the Gra, that's a bishul-oriented condition. And therefore it's limited only to liquids. And the Magen Avraham is much, much more machmed than the Gra. The Magen Avraham says, no. The Magen Avraham says that condition is a hachzoradic condition. It applies both by salads and by liquids. And it doesn't matter what food you're putting on. If the food is cool, it's cooled off already, then it's over. It's a done deal. And then you can't hide behind the Rishali. How do we pass in halacha now? So we have a twofold question to ask. Do we follow the Ramah's kula? Do we follow the Ran's kula in the first place? And let's not forget the pros and cons of that kula. On the one hand, the Ran claims the Rishami said it, and the Ramah writes the minhag was that way. On the other hand, probably none of the other Rishonim accepted it, and the Ramah himself says Tom L'Hachmir. So question number one is we're not even sure we're 100% comfortable with the Ran himself, with the Ramah himself. And then number two, we have to be machriya, we have to decide, are we following the Gra's lenient version of the Ramah? We follow the Magen Avraham's chumadika version of the Ramah. So these two shailas really, from Machlokes, the G'dayli Olam of our past generation. So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks even those who want to follow the Shittas Ramah should not follow the lenient version of the Ramah. The whole Ramah is such a cool to begin, the whole Ramah is such a Yusham, such a big cool to begin with. The Rav Moshe writes, he thinks that the Ikra Din is the Magen Avraham's version of the Rishami, which basically translates for us to mean basically not worth all that much. Means if you follow the Magen Avraham, if you follow Rav Moshe's Psak, that we have to take the Chumra version of the Kula of the Rishami, then the Kula doesn't have anything left for us. Because yes, it'll be helpful for the person who wants to take Cholent Friday night. So he'll take the Cholent off the fire, he'll put it down on the counter, he'll scoop it out, he doesn't have to have a guy holding the Cholent pot for dear life, he'll put it down on the counter, and 10 minutes later, he'll put it back onto the fire. So according to Rav Moshe, that would be okay, according to this Rad of this Rishami. But what we really want to do is take the food off the fire Friday night, serve it, put it into the refrigerator, put it back on Shabbos morning. at least kugels and chickens, not soup, kugels and chickens. So Rav Moshe says, forget, he can't do that because the Magen Avraham put the brakes in that. The Magen Avraham said that that's called Nitzdanin, which the Ramah says, Kuliyama Asar. So if you go with Rav Moshe's version of the Ran, 99% of the time, there's not that much left. So practically speaking, this Ran, there's a lot of interesting lumdus in the Ran, but it's not going to help us too much if you go with Rav Moshe's version. Nevertheless, not everyone agreed to Rav Moshe. So the Rav is quoted as saying that he thought that Mikra didn't. The gross version of the Ran is correct. And those who want to rely on this Ran, so Rav already said, So this was the source for the famous kula. It's something quoted from the Rav. The Rav was making an achzara. It's quoted that way. What does it mean? The Rav was making. The Rav was making an achzara. The Rav just quoted to the Ran, quoted to Shammai, quoted the Rabbah, quoted the gross version of the Rabbah. So if you put together the Ran together with the gross version of the Ran, so then it comes out lahalacha that you could take food off the fire on Friday night, serving food as long as it was on the fire when Shabbos started. So it was on the fire when Shabbos started. So Friday night, it was still on the fire. You take it off Friday night to serve supper. You put it in the refrigerator. You take it back the next morning, and you want to put it back on the fire, that's okay. Because since it was on the fire when Shabbos started, so all the other night locks aren't necessary. It's nitzdanin. Yeah, but nitzdanin is only consideration for liquids, not for solids. So as long as you're not putting soup back, you're not putting chicken with gravy back, you're only putting dry chicken and dry kugel, so then that would be okay. This is all assuming there's a blech there, because grufa ketubah is not negotiable. That's also under all, that's required under all circumstances. We're still in the 1800s.
Not talking about achzara, meaning as long as it's going from the same state it was on before.
But we're going to talk about the warming drawers. We have to address whether we really
oven
have...
Oven back to oven wouldn't be the same.
If it's going from one stove, let's say one stovetop to another stovetop, something like that, so as long as the stovetop that's being put onto is grufa ketubah, has a blech on it, so and you were holding on to it, that's still called all the other night lach, so that would still be okay.
That's a meaning according to the roast.
According to the rub, even right, even if you put it into the fridge and put it onto another one, that would also be okay.
Okay, that's
I think so. So this was the kula.
Although matzah came out of both things on the warm drawer, that's why.
So the bottom line is this kula, this was became known and aptly, the Rav's kula, the Olam is doing this. Lamaisa, people are doing this. I want us to be very, very careful about this for even those who want to follow this. Again, you have to put things into perspective. The perspective is that the Rav is most probably a Das Yochid. And the Ramah himself, although he quotes him, writes Eftol Hachmer. And we're not even sure that that was what the Ramah meant altogether. We're not even sure that the Nitzdanin would be covered over here. So there are a lot of tzedakim against this kula, but again, there were those who were following the kula. One has to be very careful about two things when following this, if those who choose to follow this kula. So number one, to make sure they're not putting liquids back on, because it starts to become a hefkevelt. I put everything back on. I can put gravy back on, I can put soup back on. Those are shahs of deraisa, so that's for sure out of the question. And even those who follow this kula have to be careful, was the food really on the fire when Shabbos started? Now, some of that may have changed just the way culturally. In the olden day, I was a kid, if you think back to when you were younger, at least some of us when we were younger, so think back to what Friday night meal was, what the Shabbos lunch meal was. It wasn't all that different. It was usually a piece of chicken on Friday night, and it was pretty much the same chicken Shabbos morning. You had potato kugel and lakshin kugel on Friday night, and you pretty much had the same thing Shabbos morning. It was cold, the hotter. The big difference was you had cholent. So most of the food, and then, you know, when there wasn't that much food around, so much variety of food, you know, a typical Shabbos meal was gefilte fish, chicken, kugel, and cholent, that was it. So most of the food was pretty much the same Friday night as it was Shabbos morning. So that food was no doubt on the fire when Shabbos started. Very often today, especially when people have companies out there, all kind of exotic, a lot of different kinds of dishes today. So I'm going to serve the same chicken Shabbos morning that I serve Friday night. The word's going to get out that I only know how to make one kind of food. So Friday night is, you know, this kind of chicken. Shabbos is the schnitzel, everything. So Friday night I serve the potato kugel. Shabbos I serve the broccoli kugel. A different kugel. I can serve the same kugel Friday night. So that may spell trouble because people remember when they were kids. I remember my mother used to put food back on the fire on Shabbos morning onto the plech. And ain't paid to that. No one ever asked on that. Why? Because whether your mother knew it or not, she was relying on the gross version of the Ramah's kula with the Ran and the Rishalmi. So she was relying on that, but that was only true if the facts are true. It was only true if the food was actually on the fire when Shabbos started. For the person who's serving 15 new dishes on Shabbos morning, that food wasn't on the fire Friday night. That food was sitting in the refrigerator Friday night. So when you're putting that food onto the fire Shabbos morning, you're not doing achzor, you're not putting food back. You're doing an asid mechadesh. Asid mechadesh, forget it. Not even on the radar screen. The Sidi B'chadosh is out of the question. So one has to be careful about this. I remember years ago I went to ask Rabbi Willig about the Shaila. The Shaila always comes up. Whatever standards you're going to have in your own house, when you go to somebody else's house, so it becomes a whole new ball game. So generally the poskim say that if the person is doing something that's mutalach, according to some opinions, the b'diavad you're allowed to eat the food. If somebody, you know, is violating these dinim l'chola days, the mom is taking food and putting it onto an open fire without blood, so which is really, really awesome, then there's serious reservations about even eating the food b'diavad. But as long as somebody holds what they're doing, some legitimate, not somebody themselves, I mean, some shita, some legitimate shita in halacha that holds that it's mutar, so then the poskim say, the Magen Avraham quotes, we can be momekel b'diavad. After the fact, we can permit you to eat the food. So the question is there a legitimate cheat that's going on? So I remember years ago, I went somewhere, and I was trying to figure out what the hell is going to play out exactly in Shabbos. So I remember I talked to Rabbi Willig about it. So I said, the stomach, the people, even if they're not doing everything 100%, but some of them are relying on this, they're relying on the Rav, with the Ran, with the Ramah, with the Kura, with the whole Razzle Dazzle, they're relying on the school and Shun. So I remember he looked at me and he said, what makes you think that the same food being served on Shabbos morning is the food that was served Friday night? So I threw everything back into perspective. I can't tell you what happened. This was over 30 years ago. I said, but if those facts are true, that's not the same food, then there's mamish nothing to talk about. Then l'chora, it's also l'chora deis. I say l'chora because we're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to come up with another kula. So this was the first kula. So the first approach of a kula that we had was based on this Rishami with the Ran, with the Ramah, combined with the Gra. You have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and then and only then can you say that it's going to be mutter. But if any of those things break down, then the whole thing becomes also once again. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shema, tomorrow we're going to try to approach the sugi from a different angle. Maybe there's a whole different kula out there. Maybe there's a whole other. I told you, this week is a kula. Last week was the chumras, this week's the kulas. So
2 days left for
kulas. A lot more kulas, okay. So
we want to send out an email that tomorrow's
tomorrow's
be
a kula day, yeah, yeah. So everything's going to balance out. At the end of the day, we'll be back where we started from. We're still not going to be sure what to do, but at least we'll know what the kulas and the chumras are. Mitzvah Shema tomorrow. I think we start. Is Davi start early tomorrow?
6:55.
Okay.